Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. We had a bout of COVID kind of spread through mist and that, and so, but we're glad to be back in the house of the Lord today. I want to say this strain of COVID, I guess, is going on now. It's not as, they say it's not as bad as the first bout of it a couple of years ago, but it shows up like a sinus infection or colds. So if you got a sinus infection or cold, go to the doctor. And don't come until you get tested. And because we don't want to spread it around. And we got little babies that we don't want to get it. Let's just keep those things in mind. Amen. Brother Phil is out of town, so keep him in prayer. And Brother Paul and Sister Susie are out of town as well, so keep them in prayer. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in your throne this morning. We ask God that you would be with us, Lord, in this part of the service, dear God. Anoint us, Lord, and direct us, dear God, through the word, Lord, that we may be able to be a help and strengthening to the people, a guidance, Lord, I pray. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, begin at verse 7. And what I want to speak on is my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Paul writes here and says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You may be seated. You know, when we have something that's going on in our life, something, a disease or an ailment or a trial or something we're going through, and we pray and we ask God to take it from us or heal us from us, we really don't want to hear, my grace is sufficient. Because that means he ain't going to do it. Paul, if you want to get the background on this, it's in Acts chapter 9. Paul was on his way to Damascus. His name was Saul then, Saul of Tarsus. And he was given letters to carry out in capturing and throwing in jail the people that worshiped in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, while he was yet breathing out threatenings, the Lord came and appeared to him in a pillar of fire, a great light, and shone on the road on Paul's way. And the Bible says the men heard the voice, but they didn't see the light. Only Paul saw the light. And Paul, seeing the light, recognized that this was something supernatural. And so Paul fell down on his knees and said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul then realized that he was persecuting the Jews, he was actually persecuting the Lord. And that he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. No, I'm God. And Paul then, because of this great light, the Bible says that when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. And they led him by the hand and took him to Damascus. And they took him into a house and laid him there. And Paul was blind because of seeing this great light. And then there was a man, a Christian by the name of Ananias, that was there in Damascus. And the Lord came to him in a vision and told him, said, Saul of Tarsus is laying down here in this house, and he's blind. And he's met me on the way and said, I want you to go down and lay hands on him that he might receive his sight and that he might receive the Holy Ghost. And of course, Ananias said, well, we've heard horrible things about this man, that he's got letters to imprison us and everything else. And the Lord spoke to him and said, well, I've appeared to him in a vision and told him there's a man named Ananias that's coming down there to pray for him. And he said, he is a chosen vessel to me. He says, and I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. And so Ananias went down, walked in, told him who he was, and he laid his hands on him and prayed for him. And the Bible says, like scales fell from his eyes, and Paul could see. And Paul was baptized and received the Holy Ghost. So that's the story of what happened to Paul's eyes and how that Paul met the Lord. And Paul had trouble with his eyes. Now, Brother Branham says, in the message of Christ revealed in his own word, said a young minister and his wife came to him. And they told Brother Branham they wanted him to pray for him, said they were just so nervous and they suffered from nerves so bad. And Brother Branham told them, said, now I want you to remember something. He said, Satan's got a punch coming at you. Don't care who you are. Which would you rather be that punch be? Be blind or be arthritic sitting in a chair or be nervous? See, he's got somewhere he can punch you. He's got a right to that open place. Now that's the spot you've got to cover all the time. You see, Satan studies you, and he studies you for your weakness, and every one of us has a weakness. And now Satan's not going to attack you where you're strong. He's going to attack you where you're weak. If you don't have a weakness with a certain thing, Satan's not going to come and try to tempt you with that, because he knows, well, that's a waste of time. So what he's going to come and try to tempt you with or hinder you with is something where you got a weakness, an area where you got a weakness. And Brother Branham said, that area where you got a weakness, then you must keep that area covered. How do you cover it, Brother Jerry? With prayer, for one thing. Now, he said, Satan will constantly punch, this in Revelation chapter 5 series, Revelations of Jesus Christ series, said, Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on earth. So as long as we're in this body, this flesh body, Satan's going to keep punching at you. Now Paul said he was given a messenger to buffet me. And buffet means to strike repeatedly. It means blow after blow, like the waves on the sea that are buffeting a ship. It's wave after wave just coming and hitting the thing. And that's what Paul was talking about. It buffeted him. And what it was, that the thorn in the flesh that Paul had was he had problems with his eyes from the time that he had met Jesus in the great light. And so his eyes were weakened. Paul even said later on, he said, I write with large letters because he had problem with his eyesight. And he said, I've asked God 3 times to take this from me. He said, and he's asked God, heal my eyes, heal my eyes, heal my eyes. And God didn't heal his eyes. He just said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, my grace is enough. What did God's grace do for Paul? Well, it saved him for one. It turned him around. Paul might have been physically on his way to Damascus to bind him in prison, but spiritually he was on his way to hell. And so it turned him around. It changed him. It let him see just who he should be worshiping. It gave him a life in Christ. But what it means, my grace sufficient, is his grace is enough to help you through it.
That's right.
His grace is enough to help you overcome that.
That's right.
God doesn't always remove all the obstacles out of your way.
That's right.
He lets you experience things. Look, friends, once we get in the millennium, your character's got to already be built.
That's right. That's
when the rapture takes place, your character's got to be finished. So the character molding all takes place here. Thank God that all the trials only take place here. Once the rapture comes, your trials are over. Now, I've heard people say, you know, well, once I get the Holy Ghost, boy, it'll all be over for me. No, you just got in the battle then. You wasn't even in the battle before. You were just floating along with the current before. But now you're going upstream. Now you're going against the world. Now you're going against Satan. Now you're going against the minions of the hell. So Paul would go to get better. His eyes would start to get better. And then here it'd come. He'd have problems with them again. God just said, my grace is enough to take you through this, Paul. In other words, you're going to overcome it. You might have to battle that your whole life. But the thing about it is, you're going to have a glorious life in Christ. Look at all the souls that Paul won to the Lord. Paul actually said, I believe this thing's been given to me to keep me humble, lest I get exalted with all the revelation that God has given me. See, Paul had greater revelation than what any of the other disciples had had. But lest he would get exalted, he said, God has allowed this messenger from Satan to come and buffet me, a thorn in my flesh. Look at the way he describes it. It wasn't something that wasn't irritating. It wasn't something that didn't let him know it was there when it was there. He knew it was there because his eyes would start to go dim. It was a thorn in his flesh, something that made him uncomfortable. Sometimes we have a thorn in our flesh. It makes us uncomfortable. But God's grace is enough to help us through it.
That's right.
Brother Branham said, there may be times where you have it hard. But God never promised you a flowery bed of ease. But he has promised you grace sufficient to handle every trial that comes your way. Sometimes we torment ourselves with our own thoughts, trying to figure out how we're going to rectify something. look, if you put it in God's hands, you can just quit trying to figure it out. God will take care of it. He's got a way to do it. Many times you say, well, why ain't God done it yet? He's got to get you out of the way before he can work sometimes. Get you out of your own way. He's promised grace to overcome every temptation. Look, as long as we're in this flesh, look, when you get the Holy Ghost, what gets the Holy Ghost is that inner you, the real you.
Yes, right.
This thing that you look at in the mirror, that ain't the real you. That's this body of flesh you live in that's under the condemnation of sin. That's why it gets old and ugly and decrepit. That's why it ages, because it's under that condemnation of sin. But that inner man in here, friends, he's still as young as he ever was. But your soul is what gets the Holy Ghost. But Satan comes and to buffet your flesh, because he knows your flesh didn't get the Holy Ghost. He knows your flesh still can see, smell, taste, and hear, and feel. He knows these things. And he knows your human spirit. He didn't get it either. Your human spirit has a memory. It has a conscience. It has reasoning. It has affection. It has emotions. And Satan knows he can work, and that's where he comes to buffet you. With some people, he comes and buffets them to try to make them think, ain't nobody cares about you. That's not the truth. You think, you know, I was sitting one time over in North Carolina. It was in Brother Dan Daisley's house. And my wife and I sitting there fellowshipping with him. And, you know, I've always had great esteem for that brother. And I always thought a lot of him. Anytime he ever come to preach for us in Ohio, he always really helped everybody. I know he really helped me. And so I always had great respect for him. And it seemed like every time he come to preach, he was always preaching a message of grace. He was always preaching something like that, you know. And I used to say when I first started pastoring, I used to say, boy, I wish I could preach a Dan Daisley message. Seemed like I was always preaching whippings. I'd like to preach a Dan Daisley message. And I was visiting with him anyway, and he opened up to me and told me one of the ways that Satan buffeted him was telling him nobody loved him. And I thought, my goodness, how could this brother think that? Why, everywhere I go, everywhere I've been, I hear people talk about how much they love Brother Dan Daisley. But see how Satan does? That was a weakness he had. It was something from his upbringing. It was something from his childhood or something. And so he had this weakness, and Satan buffeted him at that. It didn't mean people didn't love him, but that's where Satan would battle him at. So sometimes there's people they battle it where Satan... places where you'd look at them and you'd never think that that individual would be battling that particular thing. God ain't promised us as Christians a life without troubles. But he has promised that when troubles arise, that he'd raise up a standard against them. He has promised in the time of trouble, he would raise up a standard. He's promised us grace to make it through our times of trouble. Amen? Depths and troubles and frustrations. God's promised a way through. You know, sometimes you get go through an experience to where it seemed like you're facing something no matter what you do. You can't seem to get over that thing. You can't seem to get around it. We try everything. You know, by nature, people usually don't like confrontation. They'll try to avoid it as much as they can. They'll try to go this way around and go that way around and go this way over and go that way under it. And when you've got something going on and you can't, that, like the children of Israel, when they come down to the Red Sea, there wasn't no bridges to cross over it. They couldn't tunnel under it. There was no way to go around it. They were backed up against it with Pharaoh's armies coming down upon them. And you'd think with all the miracles they saw happen in Egypt, with all the plagues from all the way to the death angel passing through and delivering them out of Egypt, you'd think they'd have been all right, had their faith really high. But instead, just like all of us humans, fear set in. But when they couldn't get around it, over it, under it, God made a way through it. He said, I'm going to part the waters, and you're going to walk through on dry ground. And the very miracle I used to deliver you from Pharaoh is the very miracle I'm going to turn around and use to drown Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God knows the road you're on. You ain't passed this way before. Just like the children of Israel when they was with Joshua and they were getting ready to cross Jordan and go over and take the promised land. And God spoke and said, you have not passed this way before, so I will send my angel before you. Hallelujah. We've got angels camped around about us. The Bible promises that. Said the angels camp about the people who praise the Lord. Camped around about those who fear God. Hallelujah. Angels watching over us all the time. You know, today there's a lot of preachers out there, ministries and churches and that, and religions promise people prosperity. If you'll serve God, why, you just sow your seed, you know, and he'll make it multiply for you. And what they're talking about is sending money. Sow your seed, send your money, and God's going to multiply it for you. God never promised us to become millionaires if we become Christians. He never promised us great riches on this side. You know, years ago, I was down on the Sarasota Bay down in Florida, and I was fishing. And I was out in this boat fishing, while all around that bay, there was these great big mansions. And the brother I was with, he lived there, he started pointing at different mansions to tell me what great celebrities that they belonged to. And there was, you know, rock and roll stars and all kinds of different celebrities and famous people at all these places that was around that bay these mansions belonged to. And I thought about what Brother Branham said. He said they're having their millennium now. But one day, we're going to have our millennium. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. It said we're going to build our own house. Mine's not going to be a trailer. I'm thankful for what the Lord's given me in this life. But I don't plan on living in a trailer in the millennium. The Bible says you can be tempted. You're going to be tempted. And you're going to feel pain. You're going to suffer sicknesses. That's what Paul was talking about. I'll glory in my infirmities. He was talking about his illnesses, his diseases.
That's right.
Look, when Paul came down to the end of his road, he wasn't there bawling and crying, "Oh my God, Lord, get me out of this. They're going to take my head off." Paul knew what his fate was.
That's right.
You know what he said? "I finished my course.
That's right.
I have kept the faith.
That's right.
There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." They didn't have to drag Paul over there. Paul walked. Great many stories I read about Paul's execution. Sometimes people say, "I can't live the right kind of life." Yes, you can. Because God said you can.
That's right.
The Bible says you can. He said he would finish the good work that he started in you. You didn't start it. He started it. So you're not going to finish it. He's going to finish it. Hallelujah. When you're in the path of duty, God is going to make a way for you. Now, when after Moses had passed, God came and appeared to Joshua and was talking with Joshua. You can find it in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. He said, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." Now, friends, Moses was a man who made mistakes. Moses was a man who failed many times. And so what God was saying to Joshua was, "You may fail me, but I won't fail you. I'll be with you through your mistakes. I'll be with you through everything you face. I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses." Sometimes we stumble and fall, but God's great hand is there to pick us up because his grace is sufficient. God's grace, did you know that God's grace searched you out? You may have been in the dredges of sin, but his grace searched you out. I've known people that's been in jail, but God's grace searched them out. You say, "Why did I end up in jail?" Sometimes God has to take drastic measures just to stop you and get your attention. Believe me, he knows how to get your attention. Sometimes he's got us hit us upside the head with something. Let us fall flat on our face. And all of a sudden, then we got nowhere to look but up. God knows how to get our attention. That's his grace. And his grace is enough. Brother Branham says in the Message of Shalom, he said, "Your grace is sufficient. Then this devil that bothers me is just the growing pains of your grace."
That's right.
Growing pains of grace. We're being molded. You know, the Bible likens us to clay in the hands of the potter. Jesus being the potter, the one who's molding us. And you know what? When they mold that clay, they ain't easy with it. Not until it gets down to the final touches. But at the start of that, I'll tell you what, God will do whatever it takes to get you molded into an image like him. Brother Branham preached the message, the masterpiece. And to preach that message, he got inspired from seeing the statue of Moses that Michelangelo had carved out. And he carved it out of marble. And he said when it was done, it looked so real that Michelangelo took the hammer that he had been using. Now, you know, when he started out, it was just a great big chunk of marble. And there was a whole lot of that marble that wasn't Moses. That's the way he starts out with us. He's got just a great big chunk of something. And he's molding into a whole lot there that ain't you. And he's got to get rid of it. So he starts out with just knocking off big chunks. And it ain't till he gets down to the fine work like the eyelids and things that he starts to get a little more delicate.
That's right. Amen.
But that statue of Moses looks surreal. That Michelangelo was so inspired, he took his hammer and smote it on the knee and said, "Speak!" Brother Branham said, he's molded a great masterpiece, and he talked about Christ. But then he began to talk about the bride, the masterpiece of the bride. You're a masterpiece. It's like that old story many of you no doubt has heard about the old violin. And it was being auctioned. And when they started first auctioning it, not too many people weren't offering that much. There wasn't that many, just small offers coming up. And then all of a sudden, there was a man in the audience that couldn't take it no more. He knew the real value of that. And he was a master violinist. And he came up there and took that violin and he took that bow and he began to play. And after he got done playing that violin, the bids started soaring. And then what it said was that the violin, just the old violin, didn't look like much until it got in the hands of the master. And I'll tell you, none of us look like anything until we got in the hands of Jesus. He makes us what we are. Hallelujah. Any glory that comes out of our life will be because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Bible, many times God will say, "Fear not." You know, any time that he says that, it means there's some hard times coming. There's something you're going to face. Fear not. It's just like a mother when she's putting her little one down for bed at night. And she goes to turn off the light. Now she said, "I'm going to turn off the light. It's going to get dark. But you're going to be all right because I'm here with you." There's times in your life where you're going to face some dark times. But don't worry. He's right there with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I've heard people say when they got the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have to overcome anything. That's not right. God's not going to take and push you through a pipe into heaven and then say to he that overcometh, "I will grant to sit down with me." Why, if God just pushed you through, you never had to face anything, well, that means you'd never overcome anything. Brother Branham said in the message of Marriage of the Lamb, he said, some people say, "If the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him." He said, but that's up to you. You've got to do something. "They that overcome shall inherit all things." They that overcome, you have the power to do it. It's not power of yourself. It's power of God in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. It says Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour, but our God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that's in me, hallelujah, than he that's in the world. Great, greater, amen, praise the Lord. You have the power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. I used to tell people, look, I've had things I had to overcome. I had things in my life that I was bound by that I had to overcome. I've talked to people who's been bound by cigarettes. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's what I've always said. God's not going to come down out of heaven, pull that thing out of your mouth, throw it on the ground, stomp on it, look you in the face and say, quit that. You're going to have to throw them away. And then depend on his grace to overcome that. Hallelujah. You must be willing to lay it down. The Bible said, his wife hath made herself ready. There's things you've got to do. Hallelujah. You've got to make decisions for yourself. Doing that, you'll show your faith and respects toward God. There's many things that we face in this human life, weaknesses we have. You might say, seems like every time I have a conversation with so-and-so, we end up into it. Well, there's something you got to overcome. Overcome it on your part. You can't control the other fella, but you can take control of yourself. By the power of God. And questions of answers. Somebody asked Brother Branham's question. Brother Branham, when somebody gets on me or steps on my toes, Brother Branham says, oh, this might be a good one. When somebody steps on my toes, as the old saying is, my temper rises. How can I overcome this thing? I know the Lord will have to do it, but what can I do in my heart? I don't want this thing. Likewise, what can I do? Many times, it's what you need to do. Brother Bram said, sweeten your temper with prayer. Brother Branham goes on to talk about this, and he said, when I was young, he said, I had a temper. He said, my daddy was Irish, and my mother was half Indian. And he said, I had a temper coming from both ends. He said, they had tempers like could fight a buzzsaw. He said, I had a bad temper. He said, my temper got me into many scrapes and many problems. He said, it got my mouth mashed many times. He said, there was times I had to drink my meal through a straw. And he's talking about how growing up that he was poor. And his mama took one of his daddy's old coats that he had got married in, and she took the material from it and made him a pair of pants to go to school in. And he went to school and he dressed. He was poor. They were poor. And he got there and kids made fun of him because he was poor, because he dressed poor. And kids knew his mother was half Indian. And so they would call him a Kentucky squab, he said, because they knew they called her a squaw. And they called him a Kentucky squab, and he said, my temper got me into many fights. And he said one time he was walking home with the little girl, young girl, and he was carrying her books for her. And these boys didn't like that. And so they come down there, and they were going to give him what for. And so he said some of them held him while another one took a rock and started smashing him in the face until he couldn't have consciousness. And said he pleaded with the boys and said, if you just let me up, I'll go straight home. I won't do it no more. And finally they let him up, and he went straight home and got his rifle and come right back out after them boys. And he come across them boys walking, and he said, all right, which one of y'all wants to die first so you don't got to watch the other ones die? And he said he began pumping them rounds up into there and pulling that trigger, and every one of them just thump, and he'd another one would come out, and he'd put another one in and pull the trigger, and thump, nothing would happen. He would pop another one in. He said, here was all these rounds laying on the ground. None of them went off. The boys ran off screaming. Said he picked up them rounds, put them back in that rifle, and every one of them fired. He said, now you see, I could have been a murderer. He said, you talk about the grace of God. God had grace for me. He said, but that's how bad a temper I had. He said, but you want to control your temper? Sweeten it with prayer. Next time, before you talk to so-and-so or whoever, have prayer first. Sweeten your temper with prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got things we've got to go through and overcome. But the Bible promised to the overcomer would be granted all things. To the overcomer would be granted to sit with him in the throne. Hallelujah. Read in the book of Revelations chapters 2 and 3, and you'll see all the promises to the overcomers.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Many promises to the overcomers. But you've got to have something to overcome. So the next time you're facing it, instead of getting all down in the mouth about it, just say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be an overcomer.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace that you've allowed me to go through this so that I can sit with you in your throne.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your mercy. Lord, we ask, God, that you, Lord, would just touch each one, Lord, here. May you strengthen them. You know the trials they face, the things they go through. I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, would give them the strength, Lord, in their time of weakness to go through their trials, to face the things that they must overcome. Lord, the power lays within us. Lord, it's you. You are the power. You are the thing that's in us that's greater than he that's in the world. I pray your blessings on the people now today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.